I felt my heart to speak out of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is found right after the book of Proverbs and right before the book of the Song of Solomon. Now, I want to speak out of the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. I sense such a depth in the Word of God, studying this out and preparing for this message to deliver to your heart today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. The scriptures I'm going to read will be out of the Amplified Version. And then henceforth I'll be using the New King James Version. When you're there, let me know, because I really want you to follow me. All has been heard, the end of the matter is. Fear God, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is. And keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. The full original purpose of His creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. And the whole duty for every man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Father, I pray today that You will use me and allow me to draw the picture on the canvas of everyone's heart today. That they will truly see the importance of having a fear for You, to obey Your commandments, and to be prepared for final judgment. Lord, I thank You today that we're here in this house to hear this word all together, that Your name would be glorified. And I preach only that You would be glorified, that You would be seen, and not me. And we give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're speaking today on having wisdom and how to apply that wisdom in relationship with the Lord. It's important that we understand that each of us can gain wisdom if we ask the Lord, but we have to ask in faith. Having true relationship with God through Jesus Christ, not a religious experiment in some church. Truly, some people attend church with a religious experiment. Some college students are assigned from their classes in that they take in school to go to a church and to experiment what it is and then write a paper on it. But we have to remember that our relationship is not an experiment with Jesus Christ. It is a relationship that is very important for our future, for eternity, and for our ability to understand through God's Word who He is. And understand His great love for us. And by the way, God loves us. He really does. He cares for us. He loves us so much that He wants to bless us and to cause us to receive the greatness of His kingdom and the goodness of His mercy. Let's remember this. These words. Please remember these words. The Lord alone is wise. The wisdom that we seek from God is His wisdom, not our wisdom. Man's wisdom can only take you so far, and then it ends. And oftentimes in failure. But God's wisdom is for eternity, and it never fails. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We have to understand that there's three distinct points that we're going to be discussing this morning in these closing verses of a great discourse that Solomon wrote. He was the wisest man on the earth when he wrote these words. And he ends this great discourse, the book of Ecclesiastes, by stating three things. Fear God, there's wisdom in that. Obey His commandments, there's wisdom in that. And prepare for final judgment, there's wisdom in that. I'm not here today to scare you. I'm not here today to scare you into receiving the Lord as Savior. I'm not here today to draw some picture on your heart, on the canvas of your heart, that would be something that you would want to forget about quickly because it brought you to some conclusion that God was an angry God, a God of wrath and doesn't care for you. I'm here to draw this picture on the canvases of your heart to let you know that God simply and truly and deeply and marvelously loves you with all that He is. He cares for you. He is so great and so awesome and so worthy. You know, I love to pray and I love to seek God's face, but I always tell Him that He's worthy. I don't ever tell Him, oh God, I'm so unworthy. Oh, poor me. Oh God, I'm just a worm crawling to the altar. No, 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 no. I don't need to go down that avenue. I like to tell Him He's worthy. He knows where I'm at. He knows exactly my address in life. He knew my beginning. He knows my end. He knows everything about me. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows my heart. And He clearly is a true and wonderful God. The remarkable thing about fearing God, wrote Oswald Chambers, is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. It's an amazing thing to realize what Oswald Chambers just spoke to us. In Psalm 111 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all those who have and do His commandments. Wow, how remarkable is that? Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, we have to learn to fear God because it's the beginning of wisdom for us. And I'm going to explain the word fear to you in just a moment. But to also to fear God is the beginning of knowledge. And you know, we all want knowledge. No one doesn't want knowledge. We learn. We seek knowledge. We seek knowledge in our life or what we do or what our habits may be or what we love to do in life, what a hobby may be. We seek to be the best at what we do. The first thing to do is to learn to fear God. The point is that the world does not fear God at all. That's why it acts the way they do. They fear themselves and not the one who can deliver them. People fear one another. I've seen people be afraid of someone else. They're afraid of the police. They're afraid of their neighbor. They're afraid of their neighbor's dog. They're afraid of their boss or their employer. They're afraid of the president. They're afraid of things. Human nature causes us to fear. This earth is spinning and it's out of control. And there's a God that wants to bring us into the presence of His great mercy and love. That we would abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. The word fear is not some horror show. Fear. Or a fear, for example, of a spider or a clown. It is a fear which often indicates awe or reverence. That's what the fear is. To fear God is to express loyalty to Him and faithfulness to His covenant. Listen to the scripture found in Psalm 111, 9, which I just read Psalm 111, 10. And let me read them together to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding, having all those who do His commandments. Verse 9, He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The word awesome, when it's translated in Hebrew, it means to fear. God's awesome. I have a reverential fear of God. I reverence Him so much, I fear Him because I know who He is. I don't fear Him for what He can do. I love Him so much that He's awesome. He's great. You know, when I speak to those people every week, to all those hopeless eyes, to people that are in such despair, I don't speak about an angry God, a God of wrath. I speak about a kind, loving God that even in Romans 5 and 8, it says, when we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. How could you ever speak about an angry God when He loves you so much? He cares for you so much. He is so dynamic and so awesome, so wonderful and so kind. God is love. He cares for His creation and most of all, humanity. Humanity sought to become like God in disobeying Him, but instead they lost the one thing that made them truly human. They lost God when they tried to be like Him. They were disobeying Him. They built this tower up in Babel. They tried to reach God. They began to disobey Him. They tried to do all these things on their own. When God is saying, I want to be your father. I want to be your person that cares. I want to be that person that no matter where you're at, no matter what time of the day, no matter what struggle you're going through, no matter what decision that you're having a trouble with, I want to be part in helping you make the right decision, knowing that I'll be there for you and I will not leave you alone. For I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I will never change. I change not. My word is sure and steadfast and a foundation that will never be shaken or broken. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name for who He is. Their relationship with God, they lost it. Man should reverence God. They should be awed at who God is and what God can do. When Isaiah saw the Lord, high and lifted up in Isaiah 6, he realized for the first time in his life, because he had looked at men his whole life, King Uzziah finally died. And so that person that he looked to be the one and to have all the answers died. And then he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The angels glorifying God. Praising God. God's train filled the whole temple. And the first thing he said was, oh me of unclean lips. God didn't say, get out of here, dude. Back off, Isaiah. I'm angry with you because you were looking at King Uzziah. You never even cared to talk to me. No, God commanded an angel to take with a pair of tongs of coal off the altars of God and came and touched his lips. And instead of saying, a man of unclean lips, he now said, send me! Send me! Send me into all of Israel that I may prophesy into their life, that I may know who you are and tell them who you are, and that they will hear the words that I speak, because they'll be your words and not the words of men. I could ask you today, rhetorically, of course, has men ever failed you? Has a person ever failed you? Has a person ever hurt you? Has a person ever broken their promise to you? And I believe that everyone somewhere in their life would say, yes, that's happened. But God never fails. God never fails. God is true to his word, and he never fails his promise. Ever. You see, when you get touched by the Lord, human reason is changed, and there's no more discord. There's no more disharmony, no more disagreement, and no more conflict. Because all of a sudden you find yourself understanding through God's wisdom how you can handle disharmony, how you can handle disagreements, how you can handle all the things that cause conflict, and your life can be guarded, Philippians in chapter 4, guarded by Jesus Christ, that the peace of God shall surround your heart by the Lord Jesus. And you begin to think about how good God is. And you begin to love the world. You begin to love your neighbor even as you love yourself. You begin to love God greater than you ever thought you could. God is not saying, fear me so you'll love me. He's saying, love me because I first loved you. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Believe me. Believe this preacher right now. God knows how powerful he is. Listen to these next scriptures. Listen deeply to these next scriptures and understand. God knows who he is. Romans 14 and 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2, 9 and 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me just stop there before I read the most magnificent scriptures that I know of in the Word of God. God knows that at the end, at the final hour of this world, of this universe, as we know it, that every knee, Brother Ed, will bow. Every tongue, Ben, will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, not just in church, but in heaven, in the earth, on the earth, everywhere. They will bow, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Would you shout with me, hallelujah! Let me just read these scriptures to you. I believe the most magnificent scriptures that can be found in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. No scriptures have so much meaning than these two scriptures brought together. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say so God was so angry and he's a God of hate and a God of anger. It says that God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How can an angry God or a God that hates give you everlasting life and forgive all your sins and give his only begotten son to die on a cross? A horrid death, a horrible death, a death so indescribable and mean and filthy and hurtful and painful that you and I would be forgiven of our sin. That's love, friend. Love isn't getting a toy for Christmas. I'm not talking about Christmas toys. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving dinner with the family. I'm not talking about a birthday that you get what you want. I'm talking about eternity here. Nothing wrong with toys at Christmas. Nothing wrong with Thanksgiving. Nothing wrong with birthdays. But I'm talking about a life. I'm talking about breath. I'm talking about eternity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
But let's not stop there. We could halt there. We could park the sermon right now. But let's not park yet. Let's not even pull into a rest area. Allow me to continue to take the brush of his word and continue to paint upon your heart this sermon. Listen to this preacher. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
I'm not preaching a message to you today of condemnation. I'm preaching you a message today of saying that God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom. And he's saying, I want you saved. I want you forgiven. I want your family saved. I want your friends saved. I want your professors saved. I want your employers saved. I sent my son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world might be saved.
Yes.
Doesn't say will be saved. It says might. You know why? Because there's a choice that you and I had to make or have to make. Might. God's will that all men be saved, the word says. Might be saved. Choice. Adam and Eve messed it up. God sent his son, and his son came along and cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Somebody shout, he cleaned it up.
He cleaned it up.
He cleaned it up. I'm not a man that I was in 1976, prior to salvation. I'm now a man that's cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, desiring to see souls brought into the kingdom of God. Why? Let me say it loudly and clearly. Because he is worthy of praise and honor. When you get saved, it's a new life, a new world, and the greatest life and the greatest world. It is a world designed by God himself, and it says that he is worthy.
Yes.
You are forgiven. No more discord, no more disharmony, no more conflict. And if there is, he can come and clean it up.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Six times in the discourse, six times in this discourse, called the book of Ecclesiastes. Six times from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12, Solomon told us to enjoy life while we can. But at no time did he advise us to enjoy sin. This old world is enjoying life, and they're enjoying sin. I got 7 grandchildren. It brings emotion to my heart. 7 grandchildren. Ages 8 all the way down to before 1. 7 grandchildren. 5 girls and 2 boys. 7 grandchildren. I want them to be saved. I don't want them growing up in a world that's full of revelry and debauchery and rebellion. I want them to grow up in a world that is at peace with one another. I want them to grow up and go to church. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll be the first one in line to tell you going to church doesn't get you saved. But I want them to meet Jesus that they get so excited that they'll go to church. I'm not saying going to a church like this, traditional, opening prayer, devotion, song, tithes and offerings, the word, altar call, fellowship, and that's it. Spending the week trying to do other programs that win the lost, traditional. I'm talking about even a home church. I'm talking about gatherings. I'm talking where they can get together and learn of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a relation, not a religion.
Yes.
It's a relation. It's not an experiment. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a life. It's living for God. Why am I so intense about this? Why do I get so involved in this? Because Jesus is real. He loves you and I. He cares for us. In keeping God's commandments, man will know God's true wisdom. And in such is the solution of the meaning of the purpose of life. If you keep his wisdom, there'll be a purpose of life. You'll understand it. I've heard so many people say to me, I don't even know what my purpose is. Get into prayer. Get into the word. Find out what your destiny is. I made so many statements before I was a Christian that I thought my destiny was. And when I became a Christian, I knew immediately what my destiny was. And I'm fulfilling it. I'm not saying that when you become a Christian, you become a preacher or a teacher. I'm not saying you become an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or an apostle or a prophet. I'm not saying you become an elder. I'm not saying anything. That's not my position. My position is to tell you about a king that is a savior of the world. And that when you come into his kingdom, he will lead you through the wisdom of who he is into your destiny. Praise God.
Amen.
To fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him, to serve him, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. This is the ultimate purpose of our being and our chief end. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God personified. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:23. The joys of the present. The joys of the present depend on the security of the future. Let me say that again. The joys of the present depend on the security of the future. You see, this world, its joys are built on a foundation that will break. They don't have a secure future. I don't say that to be proud. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be cantankerous. I don't say that to break someone's heart. I say that because I care that this world would come to Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your sins have already been judged on the cross. And there, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Let me read that again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Solomon writes these words at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Words that make one shudder when you read that. Shudder. But when properly understood, C.H. Spurgeon stated, the eternity of punishment is a thought which crushes the heart. But God, look at your neighbor and say, but God. If you don't have a neighbor, look across the room and say, but God. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. I'm sure when I quote this woman, you'll all know who she was. Corrie ten Boom said this, the measure of life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. Praise God. Only in the New Testament is the doctrine of the Day of Judgment more clearly proclaimed. It is a day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Romans 2:16 says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But to bring the light, the hidden things of darkness, those things that people hide, that no one else knows, let me tell you, God knows, and yet he loves you, and yet he wants you to be forgiven. And make manifest the counsels of every heart. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring the light, the hidden things of darkness, and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. A day when the absolute profit of every deed and thought will be assigned by that one who judges. Now you hear the word judge and you get all like, oh, he's God of wrath. No, he loves you. He cares. He cares that you would be judged in righteousness and truth. Yes. I've been into a lot of courtrooms with a lot of people. Sitting there watching them get judged. 20 to life. 5 to 20. Years. I watched my own brother get 5 to 20 years. My other brother got 2 full years in the Volusia County prison camp. You've seen the movies where they're out there in the roads in the chained. He was on the chain gang in Florida. I've seen my own son in the courtroom on trial and get sentenced. I've been there when people ask me to come as a pastor to give security and a sense of the presence of God in a courtroom. And I've watched people just don't even care if they get 5 to 20. They don't even care if they get 20 to life. They don't care what the sentence was. They just want the judgment over. Friend, we're not talking about a beginning and an end. We're talking about eternity. Right. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The life you lead every day is important to you, and never forget that it is important to God the Father. So important that He gave Jesus that we may have life, and that life more abundantly. Wow! What a gift that we are offered. A gift of eternal salvation. And the ticket price was paid by Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Salvation does not cost you a thing, but it cost Him everything. Cost you everything. No. Cost Him everything. Cost you nothing. Cost you nothing, but it cost Him everything. Why? Certainly not because He's angry. Certainly not because He's a God of wrath and just wants to wipe you out. No, He's a God of love and wants to bring you in. He wants to clean you up. Let me close with some remarks that I really believe is something that is important. Even when we do not understand God's life and God's ways, our response is to be one of faith. Is life worth living? Is life worth living? Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, all you that are just starting off in life and you're still in your 20s. I was once there. I wish, oh, how I wish that I would have listen to the call of God in my life when I was just a young teenage boy, when God was calling me and I ran to the other side. I wish that I could have. What is one regret that this pastor has? It's the regret of going through so many years living in darkness, when I could have spent those years living in the light, being a preacher. Yeah. I'm excited about that young man sitting back there. I'm excited about this young man over here. Certainly I can't be as proud or as excited as mom and dad are, but I'm close.
Right.
Their young age, 25, 15, feeling a call of God. What would I say to both of you? Never turn back. Even if you wake up on a Sunday morning and you don't even feel like speaking, never turn back. Even if you say one day, I don't know, I can't do this, never turn back. Tell everyone that you meet, Jesus loves you. Praise God. It's never too late to begin with Jesus. Yes, if you are truly alive through faith in Jesus Christ, then you can be satisfied no matter what God may permit to come into your life. I've been going through some of the harshest storms Kathy and I have in several months. We don't talk about it. We pray about it. She mentioned one this morning of how grateful we are right now. How thankful. And how many people wanted me to give up on my son. But I didn't. I want to remind you that I'm a man. And when someone screams at me, I normally come after you. God forgive me. But I kept my peace. That's God. Am I proud of that statement? No, because it sounds like I'm bragging on myself. I got to realize I'm not 21, I'm 64. So if I go after somebody, I'm a goner. When I was 21, I could do something. Now that I'm 64, I think I can. Especially when you're as big as my boy is and as muscular. I never gave up. The other boy she talked about, I held in my arms as a baby. He's been in prison, been in jail. Now he's clean and free. First time ever. I saw his daddy the other night at Costco, standing there by the baked goods. He said, "My boy's finally got it. All these years, his boy was so bad. Prison, jails. So bad. And now his father said he finally got it. I pick him up every Saturday right now because he's still in recovery. But he's finally got it. Don't ever give up, because God has never, ever, ever, and will he ever give up on you? No, he won't. He who has the Son of has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Yesterday I was speaking to so many liked the message that I spoke yesterday. I made a decision yesterday. And that decision is that wherever I go to speak to all those hopeless eyes, hopeless hearts, all I'm going to do is speak about salvation. Then bring a simple message, an 8-minute message on salvation. They don't always get it. This guy walked up yesterday, shook my hand, said, "Man, I've been in prison twice. Thank you for that message. God's not a God of anger. He's a God of love. You're so right. Thank you." And I didn't preach this message. Very simple message of salvation. This had more depth to it. To draw you to the final end. And I'm about to sign his name on the end of this message right now. And the picture that was, he allowed me through his moving my hand across your heart. I'm not putting my name there. I'm signing his name. But he didn't really get it. Because through the conversation, he used some profanity and everything else. He said, "I just want you to know I really love God. Thank you, Pastor. But you see, it's growing. It's growing. It's growing." And he walked away. He said, "Not everybody here hates you, Pastor. There's a lot of us who love you." But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Even on people who hate me. It's easy to love those who love you. Jesus said that. But how about loving your enemy? I want to call for salvation today.